This is Chris Brooks. Thank you for listening to this edition of Equip. Be sure and subscribe for free so that you don't miss an episode. For more information, visit our website, equipradio.org. This is Chris Brooks. Thank you for listening to this edition of Equip. Be sure and subscribe for free so that you don't miss an episode. For more information, visit our website, equipradio.org. Hey there, friends. Welcome to another exciting edition of Equip with Chris Brooks. I'm so glad that you've joined us today. Do me a favor, strap on your seatbelt. We're going to navigate through the contours of culture, as always, with the lens of the biblical worldview on. But before we do that, let me remind you, this is the day that the Lord has made. He has given it as a gift so that you and I can rejoice and be glad in it. So let's do just that. Let's follow the words of the Apostle Paul. Let's rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Well, I hope you're doing well, and I hope you are rejoicing in Jesus as we get ready to approach Holy Week and once again be able to declare to one another, he is risen indeed. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. We're going to be celebrating that in the days to come, but I want you to help to spread the gospel. That's what this program is all about. It is about getting the good news of God's grace out to the world. And there is such an epidemic of despair that is gripping our country, gripping in particular our young people, that I'm asking for you to consider a special investment into Equip this month to help us to reach the next generation. So I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Today, could you consider becoming a dollar a day partner? A dollar a day partner is a partner of Equip. We call those good folks Equippers, that sets aside $30 a month to reach men and women with the gospel. Now, that's about what it cost us to reach one additional person with this program and with the message of God's grace in Jesus Christ. And so today, I'm asking for 10 friends who say, Chris, the Lord has blessed me. I can set aside, I can budget $30 a month to make a difference, because I promise you that on the other side of your investment, we're going to use every media possible to reach young people. The written word, a radio program, not only publishing and radio, but events as well, podcasting, whatever door is open, we're going to leverage it to reach this generation with the good news of God's grace. I wish I could tell you that was free or that was an inexpensive endeavor, but it does require resources. So humbly, I would ask that you would consider right now becoming one of 10 friends today who say that I will budget and set aside $30 a month. It is worth the investment. If that's you, call this number now, 888-644-4144. That's 888-644-4144. I promise I'll keep you posted throughout the day as friends respond. Now, if it's easier for you to say, no, I'd rather do that as a one-time gift of $360, that's great. You can do it that way. It's like saying in many ways, I want to set aside a dollar a day in really communicating my heart intent to the Lord that every day would be set aside and dedicated to you. And if that's your heart and sin, I would ask that you would do that. We all month long are going to bless you with a gift as well for supporting the program. It's entitled Lies Boys Believe. It's an epic quest for truth. It's a graphic novel for young boys that comes along with a parent guide to walk you through some of the lies that boys believe and how we can debunk those lies. And man, as a dad of sons, I am constantly referencing this resource and trying to push back lies. Think about some of these lies. It doesn't matter what I read, watch, or listen to. Man, that lie that you don't have to protect your heart, that's pretty prevalent in our day. What about this lie? I'm too young to do anything special for God. Man, that's a lie that we need to push back on. What about this? I don't need to tell anyone that I follow Jesus. Just keep your faith quiet. These are lies, just a few of the lies that this book helps to combat. Our boys are being lied to about their identity, about their purpose, their significance, all of these things about God, truth, origin of things. And we need to make sure our boys are lie detectors. They can detect a lie. Lie fighters. They can fight against a lie as well. We need to make sure that they're lie proof. And so as a parent, I commend this resource to you because it's blessed me. So dial that number, 888-644-4144. Well, my good friend John Stonestreet is going to be joining me today, and we're going to dive into a few headlines that has captured our attention. Before John joins me, I want to reference another friend of mine. His name is Ed Stetzer. Maybe you've heard Ed on my program or others. Ed has a saying. He's a researcher. He's a big-time data guy. He says, facts are our friends. And I believe that facts are our friends. And I love whenever good data upsets false assumptions that may be hindering or harming us in some way. I've quoted John Stonestreet often as saying, bad ideas are good ideas have consequences. Bad ideas have victims. And John joins me today to talk about some of the headlines that are impacting our culture. John is, as many of you know, the president of the Colson Center for Christian Worldview. He's also a highly sought-after author and speaker on topics such as faith and culture, theology, worldview, education, apologetics, and so much more. Lives in Colorado and joins me today. Hey, John, how are you, brother?
Doing well. Good to hear your voice, as always, Chris. How are you, man?
Man, I'm doing good. I am a busy dad, as you know, but it's a good time to be a parent, raising your kids in spite of all the challenges that are going on, man. I think that's the high call of discipleship. Great way for us to serve God is to serve our families. And I want to start there. I want to start with talking about family. I read a headline, and it simply says this: marriages surge past 2 million nationally for the first time since 2019. Leonardo Blair, who's a senior reporter for the Christian Post, wrote the article, and he goes on to say, John, that the National Center for Health Statistics has been examining marriage since 1900. So that's over 100 years, 118 year so far to be exact, but they recently said that marriage reached 2 million annually, over 2 million annually, for the first time since COVID, and it's an interesting article. Not only does it show marriage on the rise, which is a story in and of itself, but I think the even bigger question I want to start with is why would we be interested in measuring the number of marriages at all? Why would a group like the National Center for Health even care about how many people were getting married?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's because, you know, this is the facts are our friends, as Ed Stetzer says, that these are numbers that actually, you know, matter. Historically, if you take a 30,000 foot view of marriage, it's really simple. It's, you know, the health of a marriage in a society is the best predictor of the health of the society. And that's because you have to catechize citizens to be good citizens. And the question is, well, whose job is that? And the single best place, the single best context for catechizing citizens, both, you know, young people and especially men, is marriage. You know, look, marriage domesticates men, and that's important because when men aren't domesticated, they do dumb things. You know, I'm not trying to, you know, kind of demasculate or emasculate men. I'm just basically saying that when men are married, they tend to have, you know, I'm talking statistically here. I'm not talking about each individual. But the impact that marriage has on men is that it makes them think about the future. It makes them serve other people. It makes them live less for immediate gratification and more for kind of long-term thinking. And this, of course, is also what we see with young people, is that the single best predictor of a young person's long-term success is whether they grew up in a home with married mom and dad, and no other factor comes close. Now, look, this doesn't mean that children who grew up in a single parent home are doomed. Statistics are data for a society, not for individuals. There's lots of heroic single moms and heroic single dads who have to step in and do more than, you know, really what they're, I don't want to say their fair share, because that's not the right way to think about it, but that have to do so much more because they don't have that other support. And a child, you know, ends up being okay. Our friend Jim Daly is mm-hmm. you know, the product mm-hmm. of a broken family situation and is an amazing leader. And of course, there are plenty of young people that grow up in a right. home with married mom and dad who turn out to be knuckleheads, right? So
that's right.
You know, it's
but
not
you would
a
call
money
that
back
an
guarantee.
Outlier statistically.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, listen, this is the single greatest predictor of a child's long-term success. And what I mean by that is less likely to go into debt, less, more likely to graduate high school and college, less likely to go to prison, you know, less likely to engage in risky sexual behavior, more likely to be married themselves. So it perpetuates the stability. And I mean, there's just nothing like marriage. It's almost like God put it in creation, which by the way, is exactly what we know. God put it in creation.
That's right. You know, as you're talking about marriage being a predictor of the health of a society, the long-term best predictor of the well-being of kids, it causes me to have a pastoral heart for those who are listening, because we're going to dive into some data. We're going to talk about some of the cultural currents that are sweeping through our land, but all of these tie back to people. And today, if you're listening, John and I would count it a privilege to be your prayer partner today, to pray with you, and in particular, two groups, those who say, I need help and prayer for my marriage. Sometimes we need help for our marriage. And I like to think of marriage this way, John, that a successful marriage is a team sport. It does not happen because of an individual by themselves, very rarely. Sometimes you might have to carry the yeoman's weight within your marriage. But so often, it not only takes two spouses, but it takes a community, a local church. And that's why I thank God that we can have one another. And certainly that's my story. The story of our marriage, now 26 years, has been, man, we've been blessed to be surrounded by great people, wonderful couples, and a phenomenal local church. And so I don't want to assume everyone has that. I don't want to assume everyone has a prayer partner. So we'd love to pray for your marriage today. If you need that, at 877-548-3675. That's 877-548-3675. I also would love to pray for singles who are listening that desire to get married. And John, to say that it's hard to find a spouse in this day and age might be the understatement of the day. The truth of the matter is in particular, if you're a Christian woman or a Christian man out there wanting to marry someone who shares your convictions, your values, who shares your faith in Christ, that may not be easy for you. And so I love to just pray for singles who are listening, in particular those who desire to get married, 877-548-3675. But yet, again, we continue to give these caveats that marriage is not the goal of the gospel. However,
right.
Marriage is God's idea from the beginning, John. He makes not only Adam, but Eve, and he puts them in the covenant of marriage for a reason, but yet marriage has been under assault. So I guess the obvious question would be, John, why do you think so many, in particular post-pandemic, want to get married? 2 million marriages in a year. That's a record since over the past decade, for sure. Why do you think so many want to get married?
Well, I think that this is coming back maybe as a bit of a corrective to a real trend of decline. I mean, I think that's one of the headlines of the last 30 or 40 years, is that fewer people are getting married. Sometimes I'll say this to, you know, audiences. I've got good news and bad news. The good news is fewer people are getting divorced than 30 years ago. The bad news is because fewer people are getting married. And that was a statistic that held true for years and years and years. You know, I think that has a lot to do with a number of big social shifts. The first is the more secular you get, the less connected you are from this idea of God's design. One of the trend lines that we've seen, for example, Brad Wilcox, who probably has done some of the best research on marriage and society in America today, talks about this connection between the religious commitments of young people and whether or not they get married. And so when you see this has been a declining church attendance. This is, we've seen this on a number of levels. We'll have to pick it up here, I guess, after the break.
Yeah, as soon as we come back from the break, we'll pick this up. Let me say thanks to Eileen from Florida, who just became our first monthly partner today. Can you follow Eileen at 888-644-4144? We'll be right back. Our boys are vulnerable to the lies of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and it's our job to help them embrace God's truth for themselves. That's why I chose this witty, biblically grounded book for your son and the parents' guide for you as our impact gift for this month. Lies Boys Believe will help our sons recognize deception and to stand strong. Request your copy of Lies Boys Believe and the Parent Guide by calling 888-644-4144 or visit equipradio.org. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. So grateful for each and every one of you who listen. Grateful for our partners who pray for us and who support us financially as well. I mentioned before the break, Eileen from Florida responded today to our invitation to become a dollar a day partner, $30 a month. Setting aside that in your budget as an auto gift, or what we would call auto faithfulness, allows you to know every month you're investing in the spread of the gospel, in particular with a focus on the next generation, college students, young adults. I don't need to make the case for you how many of them have bought into so many of the secular lies of our age. We're going to talk more about that in a moment. But how do we push back the darkness? It's with the light, and your $30 a month helps to make that possible. So thanks to Eileen. I would love for there to be 10 friends to respond. Eileen's on the board. I would love for you to call next, 888-644-4144. We'll send you the book, Lies Boys Believe, The Epic Quest for Truth by Aaron and Jason Davis, 888-644-4144. John Stone Street, before we went to break, you were talking about some of the troubling statistics that's happening around us as recorded by Brett Wilcox and how that plays into the rise of marriage.
Yeah, there really is so many things here that are interconnected. And, really, I think the disconnection of, sex and marriage and children and the good of family that happened because of the sexual revolution is a factor as well. And so it's really been a steep and steady decline in the number of marriages now for a really long time. So I'm with you when I look at this. I saw that article and thought, well, that's really, really good news. And, the cynic in me wonders, okay, is this just, with the COVID lockdowns and with the isolation that people felt over the last couple of years since the pandemic, is this just kind of catching up and having a small bounce back? I hope it's more than that, Chris. And I think probably the reason that I'm hopeful that it's more than this is because marriage actually is a good thing. It's not every marriage is good. Not every marriage ends well. But overall, we were designed, we were created for relationships. We're in the image of God. God is Trinity. He is a relationship in his nature. He doesn't just do relationships. He is a relationship. And so we are relational at such a deep fundamental level about who we are God's created design. Jesus pointed back to that, by the way, right? I mean, in so many different places, this is what God intended. This is what God intended. That I think it's core.
Yeah, well, I want to just affirm that there's something more happening, and I'm going to go to another article in just a moment. But first, as we promised, let's go to the phone lines. Vanessa is listening to Equip on WGNR. Hey, Vanessa, thank you so much for listening. How can we pray for you today?
Oh, hope and thank you, just trusting God for the right spouse. So we ask for prayer for that.
All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you for Vanessa. I thank you for her heart, Lord, even her faith in trusting you to provide for all things. And so, Lord, you know her desire. You also know, Lord, the way that you have shaped and designed us, as John has communicated. We have been wired to worship you. We've also been designed for companionship. And so, Lord, I just pray that you will bless Vanessa this way. Her desire is not just to be in a relationship, but to be in a relationship with someone who shares her passion to glorify you in all things. And so, Lord, I ask that you would make that happen, allow that to happen, send the right person across her pathway, not just a spouse, but the spouse that you've handpicked for her. Bless, I pray. Help her not to become impatient or weary in well-doing, but help her to trust in you for all things. In the meantime, Lord, give her hope and allow her to be fruitful as she waits for your provision in this area. Let no root of bitterness take up in her heart, but help her to have joy in Christ, because you are good. May that be Vanessa's declaration, and may that be all of our declarations every day, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Vanessa, thank you so much for calling. We'll go back to the phone lines in just a moment. John, another article, and I didn't get a chance to send this one to you. Madeline Holcomb, writing for all, CNN of all outlets, she says this, that married people are happier than those who are not. This is what a new poll has supplied us with. Gallup did a poll of 2.5 million adults, asking them to rate on a scale of 0 to 10 their level of thriving in life, happiness in life, 0 being the worst possible rating and 10 being the highest. And no matter how you parse the data, she says this, that married couples are far more happy than those who are, or their unmarried counterparts. And by unmarried, she's talking about all types of relationships, live-in relationships, you name it. This isn't so much an article against singleness as much as it's an article that affirms what you've been saying about the connection between marriage and flourishing. And she quotes Brad Wilcox in this article. He's a professor of sociology, director for the National Marriage Project at the University of Virginia, that even when you factor in things like race and age and gender and education, even if you take all of those things into account, marriage seems to matter more than any of these things in measuring the kind of life that produces the best flourishing. John, think about that. I know I'm dropping this on you right now, so I'm looking for a hot take, but think about that. What comes to mind?
Well, you're not. I saw that article too, and I've been following this research for a long time. You know, and by the way, that's just a recent study, but it confirms a trend line that has been consistent, even as the number of marriages declined over the last couple of decades. That happiness factor has stayed consistent, and it's measured on a number of levels. It's not just measured on, it's not hard. And I think sometimes maybe that's the mistake, is we think, well, if it's hard, then I'm not happy. But happiness is, when you measure it, you're talking about a sense of meaning. You're talking about a sense of connection. You're talking about not being lonely. And it's not saying that every marriage is a happy marriage. What it's saying is on across the board, marriage is a good thing, and it's a good thing for individuals. By the way, the happiest people are the religious married people. So if you go and you're married, you got the best chance of being happy according to this number. And we're talking about things like financial stability. We're talking about a collection of goods like sexual satisfaction. Think about, though, Chris, how counter that is to the narrative that we get in all the movies and
that's exactly where I was going to go, because where we're going to go next, John, is about the lie of secularism.
That's right.
And I'm glad you teed that up. Let's go real quickly to the phone lines before we have to go to break. Cheryl is listening in Youngstown, Ohio. Hey, Cheryl, thank you so much for listening to Equip. How can we pray for you today?
Hey, Chris. I've been married for 7 years, and my husband and I, we're on different paths. And we were about to divorce, but it's like God want me to just trust him in the marriage. Okay. So I would just like to pray for my husband.
Is he a Christ follower? Is he a believer?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I do want to encourage you. Hang in there. Follow what the Lord has told you, trusting for his grace, but reach out for help. This is where a local church comes in, maybe even Christian counseling, and also for prayer. And I'm grateful that you called today. Father, we all join in praying for Cheryl and praying for her marriage, asking that you would give her and her husband a fresh sense of unity of heart, that they would lay down personal preference, Lord, and fight for each other, not against one another, all in submission to your glory and for your fame. Lord, bless Cheryl and her husband in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Cheryl, make sure you get connected to your local church and Christian counseling so you can get the help and encouragement you guys need. Everyone else, stick and stay. We'll be right back with more of Equip right after this. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. We've been inviting you to consider becoming a monthly partner at $30 a month, a dollar a day. And I got a special announcement for all of my monthly partners. Look for a special email coming from me to you this Thursday. It's going to be an invitation as well as an equipper encouragement. But it's an invitation for our monthly partners. We call those good folks equippers, to our next Zoom webinar. And this is going to be a good one, friends. It's going to take place on April 18th. So mark your calendars, reserve that date immediately following the program. It's going to be an intimate gathering, our next Zoom webinar. And the topic is, how do we know Christianity is true? Have you ever been confronted with that question before? How can you be certain Christianity is true in a secular age, in an age of the marketplace of religious options? How do you know that Christianity is true? Well, we're going to take on that question. I believe it's going to be a phenomenal time. As always, we're going to take your questions as well as present some fresh content for you. But this is for our monthly partners. And if you want to become a monthly partner, it's easy to become one. Just dial that number, 888-644-4144. And again, we're asking for you to consider becoming a dollar a day, $30 a month partner, and setting aside that in your budget so that you can invest in the spreading of the gospel, in particular with an emphasis on this next generation. Gen Z desperately needs to know the hope that is found in Christ Jesus, and we can all play our part in that. I want to say thanks to Gail from Soddy Daisy, Tennessee. Thanks for checking in, Gail, and for your gift to Equip today as well. Maybe you want to join Eileen and Gail and the rest of our friends who are supporting the program today. The phone number, 888-644-4144. That's 888-644-4144. John Stone Street, president of the Colson Center for Christian Worldview, is my guest today. And, man, I've talked about other articles. John, I want to get to one that you and your colleague Shane Morris did, and it simply is entitled The Secular Trauma of Gen Z. Now, we've been talking about marriage and happiness and healthiness and society, and so much of what we've been saying seems to be so counter-cultural to what we have been told and what seems to be promoted. But you're taking it a step further. You're saying the data is showing that the promises of secularism have been lies, proven to be false, and that it's doing much harm to us. Unpack this for us.
Well, I will, but first I have to mention, I know where Soddy Daisy, Tennessee is. I used to live 20 minutes from Soddy Daisy, Tennessee. I haven't heard that city named on a national broadcast ever. So I just had to say that.
Hey, so, Quip is big.
Greetings
in
to Gail,
Daisy.
And thanks for supporting these guys. That's great. That's I know great. That's WNBI there in
that's right.
in Chattanooga. That's and right. Great station there and all that. Hey, listen. You know, one of the reasons that Shane and I tackled this was because of the narrative that has really been pushed over the last couple of years with the whole deconstruction movement, mm-hmm. kind of the whole push about the toxicity of religion and how, you know, faith and fundamentalism have created so much trauma in young people's lives. And that's a narrative that gets repeated over and over and over on secular outlets, even on some Christian outlets. But where we're at now is real data coming in on the mental health challenges and the resiliency problem with young people. Abigail Schreier, who of course wrote that very important book on the push of gender ideology on young girls in particular, has just released another book about how all of our push to find trauma for young people has actually itself been a source of trauma. And the psychotherapy that has dominated how we approach young people as being consistent and constant victims over and over and over has actually victimized them. Now, listen, that in and of itself, where you always say the problem is somebody else, the problem is somebody else, the problem is somebody else, not to say that there's not abuse and that there's not trauma that's created in young people's lives. But the point is that narrative that it's always somebody else's fault and that yes. I am a perpetual victim is a direct consequence of secularism, right? In other words, yeah. where you don't take seriously the problem of sin, you don't kind of posit that one of the problems might be the idea of moral guilt or immaturity or, you know, the problem, as G.K. Chesterton said, is not out there, it's in here. And, that's a fundamental different way of looking at the world between a Christian vision and a secular vision. Well, listen, Christianity hasn't been a dominant worldview in the Western world for long enough now that we're seeing the results of secularism and yeah. the explosion of mental health challenges, the explosion of relationship problems and relationship breakdowns and the decline of things, for example, like we were talking about of marriage, at least over the last several decades or so. All of that's a direct consequence of a declining religiosity and a declining Christianity in the world. And so what we need to start doing is documenting the trauma, the problems, the chaos that's created by secularism in young people's lives and realize that this project is not working. People actually do need God. I mean, we know that as Christians, but the data now is pointing to it in profound ways.
Yeah, so this becomes more than just mere opinion. You and Shane cite that a Gallup poll that was conducted last year revealed that just 41% of Gen Z feel as if they're thriving. That is that's significant. That means that 59%, a significant majority, nearly 60%, do not feel or would not affirm the fact that they're thriving. You go on to cite, a spokesperson from the Center for Disease Control is quoted in the New York Times as saying, young people are telling us that they are in crises. This is particularly true for our young girls. 67% of girls feel persistent sadness. How come, John, sexual liberation and secularism didn't deliver on the promises of a happier life?
Well, look, I think there's a lot of immediate explanations, like, you know, social media has been really, really bad for us, and social media has taken the place of real relationships. I think that marriage is good for us, and the decline of marriage, you know, to the point of what we were talking about earlier, that hasn't been good for us. The promises of sexual liberation did not come through. Young women in particular were promised liberation and instead they were brought abandonment. But I think if we really wanted to sum it all up, let's go back to one of the great spiritual quests that's ever been documented in human history. And that's St. Augustine in his book, Confessions. Yeah. And he says, "Thou hast made us for thyself, O God, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." This is true for individuals, but it's also true for civilizations. Civilizations disconnected from God do not flourish. And it's because when we talk about the truth claims of Christianity, we're not just talking about things that we believe. We're talking about the way things actually are, that we fundamentally have to be tethered to our Creator. And that relationship is broken by sin and restored in Christ. But when we dismiss that, well, it leads to all kinds of chaos. And honestly, a lot of people predicted this. This shouldn't have been a surprise. Friedrich Nietzsche wrote about it in a parable of the madman. You had Anthony Thistleton and other sociologists, Peter Berger, talking about the identity crisis that would result from the God crisis. And that's, we're just seeing, I hate to say it this way, those chickens come home to roost, basically.
Gen Z, you report, is more unhappy, unwell, and chronically lonely. And you go on to say, again, there is this undeniable connection now between secularism, sexual liberation, hyper-individualism, gender identity, pornography-inspired body image issues, sexual dysfunctionality, and what we're seeing here in this epidemic of unhappiness, unhealthiness, and chronic loneliness. And you would argue, and it seems like Shane is as well, that deconstruction is not the answer. And this is the message that's being pushed, that the answer to the crises and the epidemic that we've talked about is deconstruction. And again, at the risk of redundancy, why is deconstruction not the answer?
Well, because it's not the problem. The problem is not the religious experience that people have had. The problem is not the church. Now, again, I'm talking of church abuse, and it has caused trauma in people's. But the narrative is that's the
John. It looks like we lost your connection. Go right ahead. I think we got you back. John, you there?
You know, the issue here is that, yeah, can you hear me?
Yep, go right ahead.
Okay, sorry, yeah. Deconstruction is not the answer, because the problem is not, by and large, and I'm not talking about individual abuse at the hands of religious authorities. We know that's existed, and we need to be addressed and help these by and large. When you talk about humanity, that are dealing with the chaos of a lone terrorism, deconstructing secular false promises of secular ideologies, the things that we've believed and the things that we've engaged, and go back to who are we really? What are we created for? Who made us, and what did He make us for? And it's only by reconnecting with God, not disconnecting or.
You know, I think when you say that, it drives home for me, John, the exact message and the reason for the gospel and why we can't use this moment to become quieter or more silent, but we need to become more vocal in the proclamation of our faith. Let's go back to the phone lines. Shelly is listening in Decatur. Hey, Shelly, thank you so much for calling. How can I pray for you today?
Well, I've been single for quite some time, and it's so hard to find the right person to have a companion with and share the gospel with, and that is a good, kind-hearted Christian.
Yes.
And I've been praying for it to the Lord, you know, that He has, you know, He chose, you know, He gave Adam Eve, and why wouldn't, you know, He leave me alone for these past years?
Well, here's the thing that I will say, that those who wait on the Lord shall not be ashamed, is what the Bible says. And so sometimes His allowing us to be alone is protecting us from what would have been the heartbreak of something more damaging. But yet, with that being said, I will join you in praying today, Shelley, that God would bless your heart with companionship. Let's pray. Father, you looked at the man and you said it's not good for you to be alone, and you blessed him with a wife. And so, Lord, I pray that the husband that you've handpicked for Shelly, that you would make it clear to her. Lord, if you had called her to singleness, then there would be a contentment there. And singleness is such a glorious gift when called. But yet, Lord, there's a desire, there's a burden of her heart to honor and glorify you through marriage. And Lord, we believe you've put it there. And so, Lord, give her what she needs to honor you in this way. Bless her with a good and godly husband. In the meantime, Lord, I pray that you would prepare her heart, that you would help her to align her life and all things in it with your will, your word, and your ways. Bless Shelly, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. What a great blessing it is to see you responding. I want to say thanks to Gay in Indianapolis, Indiana, checking in with a gift today. We're asking you to consider becoming a dollar a day partner, $30 a month. That allows us every month to be able to prepare, to plan, and to reach the next generation with the gospel. Go to equipradio.org. We'll be right back. Here on Equip, it's our goal to help listeners like you to understand and apply biblical truth to the issues we encounter in our culture, our community, and our home. But we need your help. Will you join our family of Equippers by making an ongoing monthly donation to Equip? When you do, you'll have exclusive access to regular encouragement from me, as well as our Equipper webinars and other special offers. Become an Equipper today. Call 888-644-4144 or visit equipradio.org. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. Time flies when John Stone Street stops by, but here's the good news. You can get more of John Stone Street by listening to Breakpoint daily or by going over to the website for the Colson Center for Christian Worldview. Or by picking up one of John's great books, resources, and so much more. We have information on how you can connect with the Colson Center for Christian Worldview by going to our website. If you go to equipradio.org, click on today's program details, all of the information is right there at your fingertips. So go to equipradio.org. John, I guess the best place for us to land a plane, and I say this as a pastor, but I could also ask this question as a parent as well, and that is, how do we prepare? How does the church, how do even parents prepare for the fallout that's going to come at the wake, in the wake, rather, of all of the brokenness and false promises of secularism? Because, as I mentioned to you earlier, if these stats are right, there are going to be many people who are going to flood our churches and even within our families, who are going to say to us, I drank from the well, the false promises of secularism, and it only left me sick. How can we prepare to minister to them?
Well, you know, I think there's an answer to that question that's both in the message and in the methods. And on the message side, now's not the time to water down, to compromise, to try to make Christianity more palatable or more relevant to what is a clearly failed set of messages in the wider culture. We shouldn't back off of Christianity's hard demands about sexual purity or about sin. And because when we do that, then we actually get in the way of the wonderful, brilliant, incredible message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that actually God wants that relationship with us to that extent that he sent Jesus to die and raised him from the dead. And all that that means. And so I think it's time for that sort of clarity of message, not a compromise of message. And that's going to be fundamental because I think we've kind of tried a strategy. I say we in general, but a lot of Christians, a lot of churches, a lot of ministers, a lot of pastors have tried a strategy of watering things down. And it's been out of a strategic decision of making it more, you know, relevant or more palatable. And I just think that's a fundamental mistake top to bottom. On the other side of it, the method side of it, I think the loneliness factor is what's underneath so many of the kind of realization of the false promises of secularism, secularism. And so I think that I see, in, for example, here in Colorado Springs, a handful of churches using their space in such a way as to bring people in and to offer them educational opportunities, offer them mental health and counseling services from a Christian worldview, offering them programs for children that are trustworthy and reliable and so on. And I think that there's going to be a real opportunity for a space. And many churches have a space that is open on Sunday and then kind of sits vacant for the rest of the week. What an opportunity to create real, you know, physical space. That's not digital space, but physical space. Yes. Where these sorts of issues and services can be addressed. And then
can I just sound like a pastor for just a moment and say community matters as well?
Yeah.
This this sense of DIY spirituality, the sense of isolation is ultimately not healthy for us. We need to be in covenant community. And this is why I'm such a fan, and I know you are as well, of the local church.
Yeah.
And our ministries really, we see it in service too, and coming alongside of the local church to strengthen those who serve, to have answers to the big challenges of our day. And maybe you're listening to John and you say, man, I'm tired of sin. I'm tired of being separated from God. I'm tired because of the lies of the secular culture that I've listened to. Well, I just want to remind you of the invitation of Jesus. He says, come unto me, all who are weary. And so if you're tired, weary, or heavy laden, he promises, I will give you rest. That's more than physical sleep. It's not a nap. It is the rest our souls need, the rest of redemption and forgiveness and grace and mercy and purpose and meaning and significance. All of these things are found in him. That's why we celebrate the finished work of the cross. That's why we celebrate the fact that he is risen. He is risen indeed. If today you want a relationship with Jesus, maybe for the first time, maybe you want to come home again, I invite you to put your faith and trust in him. I also invite you to give us a call at 888-NEED-HIM. That's 888-NEED-HIM. And we'd love to pray with you and answer your questions. John Stone Street, you're such a blessing, brother. Thanks for being with me today.
Oh, it's always an honor. Love you, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Friends, until we're together again next time, as always, remember, Equipped with Chris Brooks is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.